Standout with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight here on Radio Kerry. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Standout with myself, Ian O'Connell, is former Cork senior ladies footballer, lecturer in sports education, and six-time All-Ireland winner Dr. Orla Farmer. Sit back and enjoy the show. Orla, thanks a million for coming on. How are you?
I'm good, thanks Ian, delighted to be on.
Thanks very much. I'd like to bring all my guests back to the start, growing up. Do you want to paint a picture for the listeners growing up? What were you like growing up? Were you sports mad, or what was your brothers and sisters?
I suppose sports, yeah, has always been part of my life since day one. And I grew up in Middleton, a town in East Cork. And I suppose ever since I could walk, really, I was at a football or something in my hand, and I was out and about exploring my movement. But yeah, I suppose I was just always out and about from a young age, and had that competitive edge. And interestingly enough, my older sister wasn't really, Sinead, she was never really sporty.
Really?
And my mum and dad now would have really strong interest in sport, but mum would have been an Irish dancer, a very good Irish dancer, actually. She would have represented Ireland in Irish dancing.
Really?
And my dad would have played a bit of GAA, like football and hurling, with Klein. Yeah, Klein would have been Christy Ring's territory. So dad would have been into the GAA, all right, and mum would have been more of kind of a performer, an Irish dancer, and I suppose just always had a strong influence and strong, encouraging us to be active and be involved. So it was kind of really when I was in fifth class in primary school, it was my fifth class teacher who encouraged me to join with the club. So I was just playing like Sheena Skull competition in Cork, in the school's competition, and she, I suppose, saw something in me, and she kind of gave me the heads up, and she said, look, Orla, I think you should go and join, you know, your local club or whatever. So off I went then to join Middleton Ladies Football Club, and I'm still actually playing with Middleton to this day as well, years later. So played away with Middleton, really liked it, really enjoyed it, and was also running athletics as well, so track and field and cross country with Middleton as well, and would have competed very competitive in cross country over the years. And then I suppose it wasn't until I was kind of, I suppose, 14, kind of 13, 14, when I got asked to trial out for the Cork team underage. So
the
I had that opportunity.
Camogie
did as well. Camogie.
I make the choice between which one of them.
Yeah, so I played Camogie later on. I was kind of maybe 12, 13 starting Camogie, but Middleton didn't actually have a Camogie team at the time. I played with Father O'Neill's. It would have been a club a bit out, half an hour kind of from Middleton. So it was kind of Camogie, athletics and ladies football were the kind of key sports from a young age growing up. And then it was kind of, I suppose I played with Cork then under 14 the whole way up. So it was kind of when I was like 17, I had to make that decision. Then I actually, I packed in Camogie because I suppose it wasn't really my first love.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put more of an emphasis on football and running. At the time as well, there was kind of talks of a scholarship going to America, to Kentucky for athletics. So I was kind of caught between, do I stick with the athletics or the football? But then when I was 17, I got the call to trial out for the Cork senior ladies football team. So sure, I was only delighted with myself because that's all I ever wanted as a young girl. It was to go out and represent Cork. So I decided to stick with the Cork ladies football, and I'm glad I did.
Glad you did. It paid off, didn't it?
Yeah, sure. Look, it's been fantastic.
And a typical kind of, I suppose, sports family, so going to games with your dad and stuff would have been the norm on the weekend as well, would you?
Yeah, I suppose, like, in fairness to my mum and dad, Mairead and Shawnee, they had me all over Ireland with the cross country. Like, used to be taken off there, going up to running up in Belfast and Sligo and Dublin and all sorts. And to be fair, they've been very good, like, that kind of positive social support, like, from my parents and from coaches and teachers and stuff. I've been very lucky, I suppose, from a young age to kind of have that. I know that's not the case for every young girl that they don't have that kind of positive support, but it's so important when it comes to sport. And like, to be honest, it's defined who I am on the pitch and off the pitch as well, that having that support kind of growing up. So my parents would have been a massive positive influence on my sporting career.
it's mad to think that, like, you know, at home, family in the house can influence your sporting career outside of the family as well. You know, it's mad to think, like, myself as well, my mom and dad would have been the same, mad bringing me matches and stuff and everything. So it does influence you, you know, the people you're around as well. When you did come into the Cork Seniors and stuff, did it take long to kind of, I suppose, click that, right, this is what I want to do, I know I have a future with this?
I suppose it was a bit of a change, all right, because I was playing minor at the time. I was only 17.
Yeah.
I was still very young, and I suppose I was in school and had exams and other kind of aspects going on in my life as well. But I think for me, the biggest thing was just the intensity, like the difference. It just went up another level. And I suppose I was training and playing with stronger women and stuff as well. So physically, you know, you were up against it.
Yeah.
And there was no kind of holding back, you know, when you went in with the seniors. So it took a while to kind of get used to the intensity and, I suppose, the physicality of the game. But I wasn't long kind of, you know, blending in. And to be fair to Eamon Ryan and his management team at the time and to the older girls on the team, I think, like, was it Elaine Hart and Juliet Murphy, Breach Cork, Irina Buckley, like, all those girls were very encouraging.
Welcomed you in.
Yeah, absolutely. And they welcomed us with open arms. And what I really liked about that was, you know, there was no kind of, I'm better than you, like, five All-Ireland medals, you know, All-Ireland medals. Like, you know, I came into a team that had won 5 All-Ireland medals in a row. And all of a sudden I was playing with my role models, like girls that I looked up to when I was very young. But there was none of that kind of comparison or none of that kind of, it just didn't trickle into the team dynamic and the culture. And I think they were almost like kind of older sister figures to us. And they helped us kind of, you know, gain confidence, and they helped us to kind of settle into the team. And I think that made an awful difference. And that helped with that kind of winning culture as well, that everyone felt kind of part of the team. And Eamon, a credit to him as well, he treated, you know, a 17-year-old girl who just came onto the panel the same as a 5-time All-Ireland winning All-Star. Like, it was the exact same respect. And I think, you know, That was really important in terms of settling into that culture.
And it gives you the confidence as well, knowing that you have the people, you know, that were already there, welcomed you with open arms. You mentioned athletics there before that. Was, I'm trying to think of her name, was Orla Finn. Did she done athletics as well with you, did she?
She did, yeah. Myself and Orla, that's how we actually came across each other.
Really?
Yeah, it was on
friendship, do you?
We do, yeah. Orla and myself, geez, we go back years. And the beauty of it is we wouldn't have known each other if it wasn't for sport. So
yeah,
isn't it great the way sport can, you know, make those powerful friendships that actually last a lifetime as well. But yeah, myself and Orla came across each other on the cross-country field. So we were kind of rivals on the cross-country field. And then we both actually got on the under-14 Cork team together. So we were the only ones actually that would have went through under-14 the whole way up to senior and played together. So we actually started our football career together and we finished it together as well.
Yeah.
It was great. It's funny because we can laugh about it now because, you know, we were like enemies on the cross country field and then like teammates on the pitch for years, and now sure we're going to be friends for life. We're stuck with each other now.
This goes to show what sport's all about, doesn't it? I was watching you were on Off the Ball there recently enough, and you never missed a championship season from, was it under, it was very early, what was it again?
Yeah, so it was under 14 with Cork, so I was in first year in school, I was 13, so I think it was 2005, every single year, so that was the 5 years underage plus the 13 years senior, so it's what, like 18 years of championship football, I've never missed a summer at all, ever. Yeah, it's
mad, isn't it?
It's mad when you look back, but I suppose I was so engrossed and engulfed and I just loved it.
Probably didn't even realise, did you, at the time? Like?
No, absolutely not. And sure, look, that's the main thing, isn't it, when you enjoy playing. And like, it's nice to think that you represented, you know, the Cork jersey on for 18 years. That's something I'll always cherish and
absolutely
have great memories from it as well.
I always like to ask sports people when I'm interviewing them, do you have any, I suppose, highlight that kind of stands out in particular? Like I remember there, going back, you were down 10 points against Dublin, wasn't it? And you came back and beat them by a point. Like, that was obviously massive out of all the All-Irelands as well. Does anyone stick out in particular?
Yeah, well, definitely that 2014 All-Ireland, that was when we came back with 15 minutes to go. We were 10 points down and we beat the Dubs by a point. Whoa, that was just amazing, because I think that really just showcased like what the resilience and the persistence and the trust, I think, and the bond that we had together. Like, there was no option there. Like, we were not losing that game. Like, there was no hope we were losing. And I think that really showcased the strong characteristics that, you know, you can actually get from sport, and that social kind of bond, like, as well. That was something that I'll always remember. I think as well, as well, speaking of kind of moments, probably the 2011 or the 2012, sorry, All-Ireland final as well. I think that was my first All-Ireland in Croke Park, and like that, I was in first year college, I think, at the time.
Boy.
And I was starting that day, and I think I definitely played about 45 minutes of the game anyway. And I just remember, again, like that, it just brought back memories of, you know, being on the stand and like wanting to play, and then running through the tunnel and experiencing it all. I think that was like my first kind of moment when I was experiencing the whole All-Ireland and playing and togging out. So I think that was a special moment. And I think 2016 All-Ireland, the sixth All-Ireland we won, I think was very special too, because it just meant a lot that year. My granddad had passed that year, and also my brother had won an All-Ireland hurling with Cork as well. The
you wanted
17.
To get one back on him, so.
I did. The competitiveness in the family. Yeah, no. I was just really proud of Cian as well. And I think there was just a lot happened in, you know, the family that year too. So yeah, that was a special year. And I think, I suppose, most recently, I think winning the county with my club, we won the Junior
big,
B.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, we won the Junior B county final last October, and that was the first ever county I've ever won with my club in all my, 18 years, playing football, no county medal. So that was really special. Yeah, it was very emotional after that win, but, you know, it just goes to show that the club is where it all started, and, it, you know, it was nice. It's kind of bittersweet because I knew I was retiring.
Yeah.
Mark, and then I won the county, like, just as I'd made my decision, I won the county. So it was nice because that's where it all started. So it was a lovely feeling, and it's a moment I'll definitely cherish.
Now, if you want to get in contact with me throughout the show with any questions or requests, you can contact me through my Instagram, edoconnell321, or drop me an email through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. We're going to go for a very quick ad break. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to Radio Kerry. Lots more to come. We'll be back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Hi, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell. I'm here today with former Cork senior ladies footballer and lecturer in sports education, six-time All-Ireland winner, Dr. Orla Farmer. If you're just joining us, the full interview will be up on the Radio Kerry website straight after the show, or you can get this interview, as well as all the shows I've done so far, on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Stand Out with Ian O'Connell. And you know the way you said there, it was kind of coming towards the end of your career. It was in your head, like you said, when you did win the club with the Junior B final, did you kind of say, will I definitely make the decision to retire, or will I carry on for another while? After winning that, did it kind of cross your mind to stay on?
Yeah, I think, I suppose, with the whole retirement, I think it was incremental. Like, it kind of happened over time. It wasn't just as if I woke up and I was like, right, I have enough of it. I think it's almost like a grieving process. I always say that, like, it's like the five stages of grievance. Like, you kind of have to go through that with sport as well, because, like, it's your passion, and all of a sudden you're kind of giving up essentially on your passion. So it's a massive decision to make. And I think for me, I think COVID really kind of, you know, the whole lockdown and being away from football for the first time ever for, you know, a few months, I think that really made me kind of think of, you know, first of all, yes, football is very important part of my life and my identity. However, there are other avenues out there, and there's more to life than just football too. Like, not in a negative way, because Jesus has been such a big part of my life.
Of course,
I suppose, you know, coming into I'm 30 now as well, and you know, my career kind of mirrors my sporting career on the pitch, and I kind of wanted to put a bit of more time into my career. And time, I suppose, just the time constraints of being committed and being, you know, training and matches, like, it does take up a lot of time too. And I think I got to a stage where I'm now like ready to embrace kind of my career off the pitch, yeah, and put the time and energy into that as well. I mean, it's always going to be a massive part of my life, but I think it was a mixture of, I suppose, the career side of it, and also realizing that, look, I do want to kind of do a bit of travel. I do want to kind of explore other avenues, but also I feel the enjoyment side of it for me dwindled slightly in the last year, I think, of playing. And I think my motivation and enjoyment wasn't the same as what it used to be. And I suppose that's just life.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's just part of life too. I mean, you know, you are going to not lose interest, but I suppose just the motivation and the enjoyment. And I always kind of promised myself, I always said, when that goes, then I know it's my time to retire.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I kind of made that pact to myself. And, you know, there's no point in doing things for the sake of just half being involved or, you know, other reasons. Like, I think you just have to be a bit selfish too, and enough is enough. But yeah, look, I mean, it's the end of one thing, but it's the start of another. So that's the way it goes.
Start of another. Were you tough on yourself as an athlete, or even like, say, you touched on COVID there, actually, I wanted to say, like, you've seen loads of different sports stars kind of showcasing their talent on, like, obviously TikTok kind of blew up around COVID and stuff. How important do you think social media was at that time for, like, say, GAA players and stuff to showcase their talents and stuff?
Oh, it was very important. Yeah, extremely important. And I think they needed that momentum just to continue on, the momentum of like that, now keeping up the skills and adding a bit of fun to it, I think was really important, because I suppose nobody knew at the time that it was going to be like a 2-year kind of a job thing. Yeah. So I think it was important to keep, I think it was just momentum, especially for girls, I think, because at the time, I know I kind of ran my own skill challenges, and I did like kind of Tai Chi. I did a bit of Tai Chi on Thursdays, and, you know, fun day and all. I did a few kind of skills challenges, and to be honest, it worked really well. And a lot of parents actually got on to me and got in touch saying, you know, it's great. Yeah, it's like, it just, they needed something. They needed a platform there. So it was really important in that regard. And I think it just kept the momentum and the interest going.
Yeah. Moving on to, I suppose, stepping away from the football side of things and onto life now. Do you want to talk to me through, I was reading up online there a few days ago. It was during COVID during TY, in your work experience, you kind of got a flavour of what you wanted to do now. Do you want to bring me back to that time that you kind of got interested in that side of things?
Yeah, so I suppose I like sport has always been massive part of my life. So I always kind of knew that I wanted to go down the avenue of sport in some shape or form.
Yeah.
But I also knew that I enjoyed helping people as well. So I was kind of in TY when I said to myself, okay, definitely teaching. I know I'm meant to be teaching. I know I'm meant to be helping people. And I knew it was kind of my calling, even at that age when I was 16. So I suppose I got the experience, like went out to schools and stuff when I was on TY placement.
Yeah.
And I think it was really just like knowing, like even seeing my own friends kind of dropping out of sport and stuff as well. And I always kind of wondered, I always pondered, like, why are girls dropping out? And like, why was I the one who stayed on? And why is there a massive just drop, like that girls are just stopping playing or staying involved? That was always kind of an interest of mine. And then I decided to go into UCC. So then I got...
Did you miss your first choice, Orlan Limerick?
I did, yeah. So I actually ended up now... When I was in TY as well, like, I mean, in school, I would have been very studious. Like, I put a lot of pressure on myself to do well, not only in sport, but academically too. So I did work very, very hard.
It's like that competitive edge, like on the field, but then in school, it's the same. You try to push yourself, you know?
Yeah, it all completely translated over. And I think as well, on that point, Ian, like with the motivation in sport, I think when you have that desire and you have that motivation in sport, that completely translates to other areas of your life. And I think I was just intrinsically motivated to want do well for myself, not for anybody else, but for myself. And I was almost like proving a point to myself that I wanted to get the points. But at the time, I wanted like PE and geography was actually, well, PE and biology was my first choice, but I didn't really want to go to Dublin. So PE and geography was kind of my first choice. And I wanted to go to UL, like wanted to get out of the house. Like any 6-year student probably wanted to get away from home for a few years.
A week and every day.
Yeah, bit of freedom. So I unfortunately missed PE by, was it 5 points, I think, 5 or 10 points in UL. Absolutely gutted, like completely gutted. Worked so hard and to come down on, what was it, 5 points. So decided to do my second choice, which was sports science in UL. Now, again, wasn't something that I was like, I really want to do. I wanted to do PE, but I had Cork down as my next choice for PE and Irish. Now, I wasn't particularly that gone in doing Irish at the time. Yeah. I suppose, like, I liked Irish in school and whatnot, and it's
and
great.
And you
to
always have to do a subject with PE, or is that?
You do, yeah, yeah.
So I remember there was a teacher in my school, he's man fitness like PE, and he does fitness with teams, but he done SPHE or something.
Yeah, no, there are other avenues too. I mean, you can do an undergrad and then do PE, but if you want to go straight in, say, from you leaving cert to
do a subject
college, yeah, and in UCC anyway, that was the only option, was to do it with a subject. Now, the subjects were limited in UCC, so I chose Irish. And actually, Eamon Ryan, who would have been my coach at the time with the Cork seniors, he had a massive influence on me in terms of coming back to Cork, because
really?
I actually ended up going to UL to do my second choice, and I didn't really enjoy it. And I ended up getting a third offer in Cork a few weeks later.
Go away.
And I was talking to Eamon about it, and Eamon was kind of saying, look, I know you don't really want to do Irish as your subject, but PE is what you wanted to do. So he kind of really encouraged me, look, it's the course at the end of the day, and it probably would be easier. I'd say he just wanted me back in Cork for football, being honest, so that he could keep an eye on me. But he actually helped me with my Irish a lot. So on the long bus journeys up north and for the league games, he used to, Farmer, up to the front now, he'll be a kind to say, come around, that's Gael again. He's
that's
actually
amazing,
helped me.
Though. That's great
Irish,
to have
that
bond with the coach as well.
Oh, fantastic. And like that, he wanted all his players to do well off the pitch, because he knew that would complement on the pitch. And he had that understanding, and he loved to see us doing well. And he went out of his way to help, like, and that was something I'll always remember and appreciate as well. But I suppose then decided to stay in Cork and did the 4-year undergrad PE in Irish, and decided then to go straight on to a PhD in sport education as well in the same department in UCC. Never really thought I would do a PhD, being honest, but it kind of came, the opportunity came to me kind of in my final year, and I had to think about it over the summer, and I said I'd apply. And
what was it like balancing all that together? That must have been...
Yeah, it was tough. It was very tough, I won't lie. I suppose at the time as well, playing with Cork, taking on a PhD, I was teaching as well, because I was self-funding my own PhD. So I was off teaching during the day, doing my any opportunity I got, writing up my thesis, doing my studies, and then training with Cork then on top of it, and trying to have a social life. Now, I won't lie, I found it hard to struggle. Like, I struggled, and I found it hard to balance. Some years I was better than others, but I did allow kind of things get to me. Like I kept kind of taking on opportunities and this and that. And I found it hard to say no. And I think that's a lesson in itself for younger athletes, is like, it's okay to say no. And like, you can't put too many eggs in the one basket, and you can't be pleasing everyone, because at the end of the day, it's going to fall back on yourself. And I found probably 2017 was a year, and maybe 2020, I feel, those 2 years were like, it impacted my performance on the pitch. Because I was taking on too much.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and eventually you're going to crash. Like, it will give...
It's inevitable, isn't it?
Yeah, whether it be in your sleep, whether it be in your friendships, whether it be in your relationships, your performance on the pitch, you know, your energy, your mood, like, it's going to give if you're taking on too much. I mean you're always learning, like, you can't get it right always, but if there's any younger, you know, girls or athletes listening to this interview, like, that's something definitely I would strongly encourage you. Just, it's okay to say no, and you know, you're the one in control of your own lifestyle, so it's up to you to get that balance, and only you can do that.
Now we're going to go for a very quick ad break. Don't go anywhere, lots more to come. We'll be back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell. I'm here today with former Ladies Cork footballer Orla Farmer. You said when you were in TY you kind of seen friends dropping out, and I want to touch on that kind of side of things now, on women dropping out of sports kind of more than men, which is, you know, you often see that. You done a few years research, did you, of why they do drop out?
Yeah, so I took on my PhD, which focused on 8 to 12 year old girls.
Yeah.
So I basically put an evidence base behind the Gaelic for Girls program. So it's an existing program that's run by the Ladies Gaelic Football Association. And the whole aim of the program is to introduce younger girls to the skills of ladies football, and using Gaelic football essentially as a tool to get more girls involved and to stay involved in sport as well. So it's actually a very successful program, but there was no evidence behind it. So trying to recruit more girls and all that. And I suppose my research looked at the motivators, the barriers, the factors influencing participation for young girls. So I suppose looking at the findings of, you know, when I went out and interviewed young girls and, you know, gave questionnaires and focus group interviews, and I assessed their skills over the years and ran different studies as part of my PhD. But the main key themes, I think, that came up were, I suppose, in terms of motivators, or why do you like being involved in sport? Why are you staying in sport? The fun, the friends, the challenge. They like the challenge. They like being happy in themselves. They like when their friends are there. They like to challenge their skill. They like to get the best out of themselves. They like to keep fit and healthy. They appreciate that sport can release those, you know, any stress.
Yeah.
Can they understand the benefits of sport. But also the kind of sense of belonging was a big thing for girls, like that it kind of allowed them to be part of a team, and that they felt that they belonged. And I think that's a big thing for girls as well.
With friends as well, aren't they? Do you know what?
Absolutely. And like, if you, interestingly enough, on that list, winning comes very, very like low on the list. So it's
really,
we're talking about 10, 11, 12th position on the list, winning.
Wants to show, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, it does. And like, I suppose, look, we do have to appreciate that there are athletes that are, you know, want to be competitive and want to get the best out of themselves, want to represent their country, you know, their county, their province, etc. And that's absolutely brilliant. However, the majority of kids, like you're talking about maybe 70, 75% of kids are there for participation reasons, because they enjoy it with their friends. So like, we do have to kind of remember that, especially as teachers and coaches and parents. I think we have to remember the reasons why young girls are going to training. Like, they want to have a bit of enjoyment, and they'll remember how they felt. And if they leave the training session with a smile on their face and they'll feeling good, they'll come back. And that's what we need to remember. And yes, they still want that competition, and they still want that competitive edge. However, not in a way that it's all about winning, 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 winning.
Yeah.
So it's trying to get that balance there. So I suppose that's kind of the motivators. And then when we looked at the barriers and what's in the way and kind of the factors influencing dropout rate, interestingly enough, lack of fun was up there as
Good.
Don't enjoy the sessions. Coaches, teachers too strict. They don't really get much of a say in the activities or in the session. They don't feel like they're kind of part of of the sessions. I suppose the competition, like, too competitive. Not, they like the competition, and players have reported that competing is actually fun.
Did people say non-sporty? Did that come up? Because I have a few friends that have dropped out of football, and I'm like, why don't you go back? And they're like, no, I'm not non-sporty. Well, did that come up? Just non-sporty.
Yeah, and like that, just participation, you know, they just want to be involved. Yeah. But actually, and on that note, you know, I would pose the question to clubs, particularly sporting clubs, like, what are you doing to accommodate the non-sporty or those that are on the verge of dropping out? Like, perhaps there are other avenues there. Like, they could go into coaching, they could go into admin roles, they could go into volunteer roles, PR roles, social media roles. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that they have to tog out on the pitch.
Yeah.
Like, that's a massive thing. I think that there needs to be more done in clubs and maybe even in schools for players that are on that verge of dropping it. Like, you can involve them in other ways. And there maybe it's a case of setting up a separate training session just for a bit of crack. And just as a social thing rather than compete in competition. You know what I mean? And maybe that might be the avenue that maybe they need to go to maybe another training session that's organized of a Saturday or a Sunday or a Monday fun day session, even that it's just, you know, a bit, a kick around and a bit of a chat rather than, you know, coming and okay, we have the county final now and we've all this and that, that like there should be more avenues in club settings for players or for younger players that are on the verge of dropping out or may not be interested in the competition side of things as well.
Absolutely. And the way you said that there, I'm going to use my own situation as an example. Like, I'm obviously not able to tag out now anymore, but I'm kind of heavily involved in, say, the mental health side with my own club. Like, they still make me feel like I'm the 16th man on the pitch. You know, I do a lot of other stuff with the club in the background, kind of what people don't see, then obviously being out tagging on the pitch. So it just goes to show that there are so many different avenues around, like social media, like you said, to do with the club. Would you ever, now that you have the stats and like the research done in Ireland, would you ever bring that, say, abroad and have it multicultural in other countries? Would you do that?
Well, that's actually my plan, Ian.
Really?
Over the next year, so I kind of made a promise to myself that once I retired and once I finished my PhD.
So you said you want to travel as well. I remember
you saying that at the start. So I'm going to travel with a purpose. So why not? When I have the knowledge, I have the research, I have the experience, and I would love to, I suppose, understand from a multicultural perspective, other things that work, that maybe don't work, from, you know, coaches, players in America, in Australia, in Southeast Asia. I'm actually heading, and I'm hoping to go to Uganda in June.
Really?
To run kind of my own project with girls, to try and get girls kind of more active and include them into the GA club, actually, over in Uganda. So that's my next kind of project.
Is there a club over there, Orla? I've seen on Twitter lately.
There's a club in Uganda recently.
It's always on Twitter,
formed.
I see it, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They actually only recently had their first ever blitz on Saturday that went by, or Sunday, sorry, like a few days ago. They had their first ever GA blitz. Imagine, they organised it.
There were
200 kids in the club. So yeah, I'm hoping to link in with them now and travel over in June. That's the goal, and raise some funds for the club as well, and kind of run a project. So I'll be really interested to see kind of how the girls take to even Gaelic football, and even just some of my own programs that I run myself as well. And just, I suppose, share my own knowledge and insight, but also learn from the different cultures, and what can we take from the different cultures that can bring back to Ireland. And maybe that can work in the GA, or that can work in a school setting, or that can work in a club setting as well. So I'm kind of hoping to go around to different countries over the next kind of year or two. That's my goal, and kind of run a bit of a project as well. So that's the next step now, all going well.
And you do a lot of, I suppose, like, I've seen a good few interviews. Do you do a lot of, I suppose, workshops as well with different schools and kind of corporate talks and stuff? Do you do that a lot?
I do. So, like, I suppose most recently I've set up my own service-based business, Empowered Coaching. Yeah. So I target schools and sporting clubs, but I'd also do some corporate events as well. And it's all in the area of sport, well-being and education, really, those kind of three pillars.
How's it going for you? Is it going good?
Good, really, really good. Yeah, there's such a demand there and such an interest, which is great, because, you know, if anything, it's a positive thing. And if it means that I can inspire or influence a few girls or coaches or teachers in the right direction, then that's my job done, essentially. So yeah, it's been great, and I love it. I love going out to different schools, meeting new people, teachers, coaches, different sports too. It's not necessarily just GAA. I did a talk a while ago with Badminton Ireland there, and
really?
I'd be just different sporting kind of organizations too. It's not just GAA. So It's been great. Yeah, I was actually down in Kerry there last week, down in your territory.
Yeah.
With the Kerry and Recreational Sports Partnership.
Oh, yeah, you were down with them here.
They held an event, Women in Sport kind of series with Sport Ireland down in MTU in Tralee. It went really well, and there was
I'm actually doing a talk there tomorrow myself.
Are you?
Yeah,
Fantastic facility, and there was a great discussion on women in sport, and there was brilliant just kind of insights as well. So it's always nice to kind of be around like-minded people who kind of share that common goal. So yeah, I love it, and you know what, it's my calling, and I said if I don't do it now, I'll never do it, because I'm actually a qualified PE teacher and lecturer as well, and I do a bit of that.
Dundalk, is it?
Yeah, Dundalk IT now. I've been with them the last 5 years in the early years department. So I do a lot of work with students on, I suppose, the first kind of 7 years of a child's life and physical activity and research kind of in that area as well. So, yeah, do you know what? It's nice to get insights from the different aspects, not just, you know, adulthood. It's like primary school, secondary school, and even to have the early childhood experiences of physical activity as well. So, yeah, I'm kept busy.
Now we're going to go for our last ad break. Stay tuned into Radio Kerry, because there's lots more to come in the last part of the show. We'll be straight back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell, here on Radio Kerry, the last part of the show. If you're just joining us, the full interview will be up on the Radio Kerry website in the podcast section after the show, or you can get this interview as well as all the shows I've done so far on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Stand Out with Ian O'Connell. I want to ask you before we finish up, which is obviously another massive thing in not just sports, but in life in general, is mental health. How important do you think that is? And like you said, not to bring too much pressure on yourself, you can say no to things. How important is resources in the GA for like mental health and being able to talk to somebody within the club?
Oh, it's absolutely so important. Like mental health and the psychological part of sports.
Yeah.
Is probably the most important, like over the
More than physically, isn't it?
Yeah. And like I remember Eamon, again, coming back to Eamon, like he was such a wise man.
Really?
And he always used to say to us, you know, if you're not right upstairs, like you could have all the skill in the world. You could be the most talented free taker, the most talented forward or defender, or goalie or whatever. But if you're not right upstairs, then, you know, you're not going to get the best out of yourself. You're not. And he was so right. He was so right. And I think it does boil back to that, because your mind and your body are so linked.
Yeah.
And it's what you feed your mind. You know, if you're constantly worrying about, am I performing? And if you're conscious, or if you're lacking confidence, and if you're worrying about X, Y, and Z, about training matches, like that's going to be represented in your physical ability. And that's what's going to come out on the pitch.
Connects.
Absolutely. And like, not only on the pitch, but like me, I can speak on behalf of myself. That time when I was taking on too much, I was so stressed. I was so under pressure with everything that I was like people and things plucking away at me, all these perceived demands, that I was the one who suffered in the end. I crashed, like completely crashed. I was at one of my lowest points, completely crashed. And like, it will happen. So I can't stress enough the importance of looking after yourself, minding your own mental health. And it's okay to take a break from it. Like it's accepting it, and it's being open and honest with yourself first, saying, I'm not okay with this, or I don't feel like I'm getting on good here, or I'm not enjoying this, or maybe I need to take a step back here, etc. Like you need to be honest with yourself first, and you need to be accepting that, okay, this actually isn't going right, or I'm not enjoying this, or this is an issue here now. And like, speak, communicate, you know, talk to that one good adult. I like to say everybody has a one good person or a one
Absolutely.
Good adult to reach out to, whether it be a coach, a teacher, a sibling, a friend, you know, whoever it is. Like, we all have somebody.
Yeah.
We all have somebody that we can reach out to. And sometimes it can be scary if, you know, we're worrying about things, but just have that confidence, back yourself, communicate what's going on, and just be accepting of it. Like, nobody's perfect. You know what I mean? Everyone has their own struggles and battles, but it's how you deal with them. You know, it's, do you brush them aside and leave them build up and build up until you crash? Or do you be accepting, right, something's not right here. I'm going to talk to somebody about it, and I'm going to try my best to come up with, to find a solution, and step by step work at that, rather than leave everything to last minute. And actually, speaking of girls, it's actually the boys need to do that more rather than the girls, because sometimes the boys and the men can be quite apprehensive to reaching out. So it's just as important for boys and girls, anyone really, adults as well, to reach out if there's a problem there. And like you mentioned, that there are so many resources there. Like the GPA have like so many services there, counselling services, mental health services. Like, you literally go onto TikTok or Instagram or Google, YouTube, there's so many free resources there. Like, it's not as if we have to spend hundreds of, you know, euro on these sessions or anything. Like,
it's all there.
You can literally educate yourself, and you can help put yourself in a good position to improve things by actually using the resources, free resources that are out there as well. And the GAA, to be fair, and the LGFA, they've great kind of links and resources there that can be utilised as well.
Brilliant. That's a good note to finish up on. And just to finish, it's great to see like ladies sports coming up and improving all along, like even across the water there in England, the girls that won the Euros, you know, that was great for obviously them, but for girls sports all over the world, just goes to show. And at home then, with the games in Croke Park, you see every weekend, and it's just great to see that it's not boys and girls now, it's just sport. It goes for everybody. So thanks a million for coming on, Orla, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks a million, Ian. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks
a million. Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I appreciate you tuning in as always. A massive thanks to Orla for coming on today and sharing her story of her football career and going on and doing what she's doing now. She's doing a brilliant job, so thanks a million to her for coming in today. If you have any questions or requests for next week's show, as always, you can contact me through my Instagram, ianoconnell321, or drop me an email on my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you're all having a great week. Stay tuned into Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I'll be back at the same time next Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.